On today's solo bonus edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, I'm talking a little bit more about the Quentin Grimes trade and why everyone needs to kind of settle down with Trajan Langdon. Also previewing free agency for the Detroit Pistons. Who's coming to Detroit? Tobias Harris, D'Angelo Russell, plenty more names to talk about. We'll get into all of that and more right now.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big men. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is.
All right, trying out something new here on the Palace of Pistons podcast, a solo podcast as a bonus podcast. If you didn't get a chance to check out our last podcast, the support on it has been absolutely incredible. The number of people that have already checked it out within hours of it being released truly is mind-boggling. So appreciate everyone watching, listening to the show, supporting the show. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, talked a lot about the NBA draft, Ron Holland, and Bobby Klitman, also hit on the Tim Hardaway Jr., Quentin Grimes trade. Got to talk a little bit more about that one here on this show as well. But before we get into it, I do want to give a shout out to our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing, every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Again, the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here. Okay, so before I get into the Pistons stuff, the news that the Atlanta Hawks and New Orleans Pelicans were making a trade just dropped literally moments before I hit the record button for this show. So I wanted to just give some very quick thoughts on it. Right, the Pelicans, they get DeJounte Murray from Atlanta, and the Hawks get Dyson Daniels, Larry Nance, the Lakers 2025 first rounder, and a 2027 first round pick. So two firsts. Larry Nance is probably going to get traded again or bought out, and then a flyer on a young guard prospect in Dyson Daniels is the coup for DeJounte Murray. Can't say that I'm a little surprised, because I'm not. I think the general consensus was that Murray was, you know, the goal was to get the four first round picks back that Atlanta gave up to get him from San Antonio originally. That just was never going to be the case, which is why, you know, months ago when we talked about, oh, I think Detroit might have, you know, at least a chance at it. I think if you look now, and if the Pistons were truly motivated to get a deal done, they might have been able to sneak their way into those talks, but it doesn't seem like that's the direction that Trajan Langdon and the Pistons are going right now. Looks like they are in a different mindset, and I think that that's completely fine. But real quick, I like that trade for the Pelicans. I don't think two first-round picks is all that much to give up. That Lakers first, you know, they're going to be a playoff team. So you're talking about a pick, you know, very late teens, maybe even in the 20s. I'm fine with giving that up. If you're a team like New Orleans who feels like you have a chance to really compete, and they do have a lot of talent there, right? Obviously, Zion Williamson, who was playing incredible basketball last season before getting hurt in the play-in. They still have CJ McCollum. They have Trey Murphy. They have Herb Jones. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Brandon Ingram. He might be traded. He might get them something else that they need. It's not like they're just going to give him away for nothing, and they might just end up keeping him to keep you know, that talent there and give them a little bit more of you know, star power, quote-unquote, as they look to seriously be trying to make a deep push. I like this for them. You have a star franchise player in Zion. You have a couple other significant pieces. Double down. You know, I really don't see the downside for them in this move. And for Atlanta, right, recouping some of the assets. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Trae Young. You take a flyer on Dyson Daniels, see if he can potentially break out there. in Atlanta with a much bigger role. But you also get two first-round picks from it that you're going to be able to use in some way, shape, or form. The 2025 first-round draft pick, valuable for a draft class that's talked about to be a very, very talented draft class. I'm not going to go too in-depth on that trade. Just wanted to share my thoughts since the news literally just broke right as I was getting ready to record this. Want to get into what I think is a really interesting topic, and that's Trajan Langdon took over, a few weeks ago as the Pistons president of basketball operations. And I think he's been there now just coming up on a month as the team's new executive. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little bothered by how everyone is reacting to his first moves as the Detroit Pistons president of basketball operations. Firstly, he decides to draft Ron Holland with the fifth pick. Not a guy that myself personally was targeting for Detroit, but let's face it, you got to give this guy a chance. And this is the first real point that I want to make. And I think, you know, fans tend to forget this. Fans grow attached to the guys wearing their team's uniform. The front office doesn't have that attention. Trajan Langdon didn't draft Jaden Ivey, didn't draft Jalen Duren. He didn't trade for Quentin Grimes. So there is no attachment there. He is trying to build the roster the way he sees fit. He's trying to build a team the way he sees fit here in Detroit. And this is a team that won 14 games last year. Let's not act like this was a team on the rise that made considerable strides and just kind of hit a wall and needed to shake things up and bring in a new voice. This was the worst team in the league and was a bottom three team in the league for the past 4 years. They had to make some serious changes, right? And at least Trajan Langdon has been very, very honest with his plan for Detroit. He's not hidden what he feels is going to be necessary to build the team the way that he wants to. He's been honest in saying that he feels it's going to take time and that he wants to build through wings. Langdon has told us that the plan is to acquire salary from other teams and have that salary attached with assets that the Pistons can then use. I don't think he has done anything that is super crazy or he should be getting bashed for in these first few moves that he's made as the team's president of basketball operations. And let's face it, the guy here before him was the complete opposite. Troy Weaver never had a plan. Yes, he'd come in at every media day before the season began and say, hey, the goal's to compete this year. The goal's to be better than we were last year. And that's great. That's great in a vacuum. But what did Troy Weaver ever do to make that possible? The only thing that we know Troy Weaver wanted to do was to be tall. And why did he want to be tall? Because the Cavs were tall and the Bucks were tall and they're division rivals. So you have to match them because I guess the games against your divisional opponents count for two times the amount that a normal game would. Troy Weaver never put a roster around Cade Cunningham capable of not winning, not making the playoffs, not making the play-in, but just competing, just having a chance to compete. He failed to do that time and time again. And Troy Weaver was given a ton of leeway. Even this offseason, even before he had been fired, people wanted him back for another round in Detroit. They wanted to give him time to execute his plan. They wanted to give him a fifth year as the team's general manager. Absolute insanity. Meanwhile, Trajan Langdon has made two draft picks and has made two trades, and he's getting murdered for it online. Let's talk about the Quentin Grimes trade for a moment. Look, to be honest with you, Quentin Grimes didn't really want to be in Detroit, was not super, super thrilled in Detroit. He also only played six games after being dealt to the Pistons. Wasn't healthy all year last year. Why does he get a pass from the Pistons online community when we talk about all these other players being injury prone and that being a problem? And the Pistons need to get guys that are going to show up and play. Why does Grimes get a pass? He was hurt in New York. He was hurt in Detroit. Played six games for the Pistons. Shot 21% from the field, 14% from the three-point line. Oh, he's a surefire 3-and-D guy. Fits seamlessly with Cade. Well, he didn't do that when he was here. He wasn't doing that in New York. That's why he got traded. Let's face it. You know, the Knicks were a really good team. If they thought he was a helpful player, they would have kept him, right? That wasn't the case. So I don't know why we're overvaluing Grimes. I saw a tweet earlier. I don't remember who it's from. And, you know, it's not like I'm looking down on this person or anything like that, because I don't like taking, you know, singular tweets or singular opinions from a person and just, you know, saying that their opinion is invaluable or whatever. But this one irked me because the tweet essentially said Quentin Grimes was a season removed from being a top 15 starting shooting guard in the league. So not last season, but the year before that, Grimes averaged 11.3 points and shot 38.6% from the three-point line. Did start most of the games that he played in with the Knicks. But to say he's a top 15 shooting guard, starting shooting guard, two seasons ago, is blasphemy. It's revisionist history. And to be quite frank, it never was and never will be true. So we're doing a lot there to defend this guy. And it's not even defend, but go to bat for this guy when, quite frankly, there's just no need to. And I don't want to necessarily repeat what I said on yesterday's show, but I will mention it here. The Pistons have a lot of guys that need developmental attention. And specifically, they have a lot of guys that are 2, 3, 4s, wings, guards, that need developmental attention and need developmental minutes. And Quentin Grimes would have fallen in that category. You have Ron Holland. You have Jaden Ivey. You have Asar Thompson. Three major, major, major pieces that need developmental minutes, that need developmental training at those spots, the spots that Quentin Grimes would play, the 2-3. You also need to have some veterans on the court that play those positions. Someone like a Simone Fontecchio, who we'll talk about later. Someone potentially like a Tobias Harris, who we'll talk about later. Where were all the minutes going to be for Quentin Grimes? I'm not saying he wouldn't have been in the rotation. I think he should have been. I had him penciled in to be in the rotation. But let's not act like this was a 30-minute-a-game guy, that the plan was for him to be a top five, top six rotation player for Detroit. That wasn't the case. Not that we had seen. Certainly not that we had seen, and obviously wasn't in the plans for Langdon. So for Langdon to go out and execute on his plan and to get a guy in Tim Hardaway Jr., who gives Detroit floor spacing, one of the first things Langdon said he was going to address for this team was floor spacing, was three-point shooting. Is a contract that the Pistons had the cap space and the cap flexibility to absorb as part of Langdon's plan. Oh, and the Pistons got 3 second-round picks in the deal, one of them being Toronto's second-round pick next season. And although Toronto's spent about $250 million on their new core of Scottie Barnes, RJ Barrett, and Emmanuel Quickley, they're not going to be a good team next year. They're going to be a bottom 10 team in the league. That pick is going to be valuable. It'll be labeled a pseudo first round pick. It will have value whether Detroit decides to use it or they do something else that Langdon can do. He could be compiling all these picks to trade them for an actual first round pick or to trade them for a player of real value. So why not give Langdon the same respect and the same patience that fans gave Troy Weaver for 4 years here? I don't get it. I'll say this again. I also said it yesterday. I understand being anxious and wanting to win. I understand that desire after essentially sitting here for 4 years with nothing to show for it. But that's not Trajan Langdon's problem right now, that's Troy Weaver's fault. Langdon's trying to right the ship, and he's kind of made it clear that he's not planning on skipping any steps in order to do so. He's been very open in saying he can't guarantee that this team's back in the playoffs right away. They're going to take time to fix this. And so I think everyone needs to be a little bit more graceful in how they approach this offseason for Detroit. Because this isn't Troy Weaver anymore. And this dream of going out and getting two big-time impact players, all-star level guys to put around Cade Cunningham, it's just not realistic anymore. It's really not. It's not what Langdon said the plan is, and he proved that by taking a little bit more of a project in the draft in Holland. So let's just give Langdon a little bit of time before we start crucifying him for trading the eighth or ninth man on a 14-win ball club. All right, let's talk about free agency here. This is the last thing that I really wanted to get into, but there's a lot to cover, right? Free agency starts on Sunday. Pistons are, after the Tim Hardaway Jr. trade, projected to still have over $51 million in cap space, second most in the league behind the Philadelphia 76ers. First things first for Detroit, order of operations here. They need to be getting extensions done for Cade Cunningham and Simone Fontecchio. That's the first thing that I would be doing if I were the Pistons. Not that they technically need to sign them first, but you need to have them agreed upon because you need to know that Langdon believes Cade Cunningham is the franchise guy. And you need to hand him that rookie scale max extension. Fontecchio, you know, I've talked to some people lately and they're wondering, is Fontecchio going to be back? New regime, new front office. Is Fontecchio as much a part of their plans as he was under Troy Weaver? Well, I can't say that for certain. I will say it would be really bad asset management to let Fontecchio walk for nothing. He's 28 years old, clearly fits a need on the team with his ability to play the forward spot, shoot, space the floor, and defend. And he's going to be at a rather friendly price. He's not going to need $25 million. I don't think he'll need even $20 million a year. I think you're looking at $12 to $15 million a year. And to get a guy that can get you 15 points a game and shoot 38, 39% from the three-point line and can defend a couple positions and is well-liked by your franchise player, Cade Cunningham, that makes all the sense in the world. You have a lot of young guards. You have a lot of young wings. You have a lot of youth on the team. You need to have some veterans, which is weird to say for Fontecchio because he's only going into his third year in the NBA, but he's 28 years old and he has overseas experience. He's not a rookie. He's not a young guy. He's been around, even if he hasn't been around in the NBA for super, super long. So that needs to be the first priority for Detroit. The other thing we're going to have to understand here in free agency, and it's been proven today on Friday with the Mavericks and Pistons trade, is that the Pistons aren't going to do everything through free agency. They're likely going to be involved in more deals, in more trades. And that might mean some of these core guys that I may have already mentioned, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, Isaiah Stewart, those are all guys that could be involved in deals. Not reporting that. Not telling you it's happening. I'm just saying it's not out of the picture. I'm not going to say all of them are gone or anything like that. I don't think that'll be the case. Not right away, at least. But it wouldn't surprise me if at least one of them were dealt. There's been some different scuttle, whether it be about any of those three names, that maybe the new front office isn't as convinced on them as the previous regime was. And I think that that might be fair, at least in someone like Isaiah Stewart's case, with all the resources that were poured into him and the minutes that were poured into him and the way this team was honestly more so built around him than it was Cade Cunningham. But I'm just saying we have to keep an open mind on that. The Pistons are likely going to be involved in more trades, and they may not include any of those three players. It might just be more salary dump type trades, but You know, I don't think Langdon's just going to sit back for a year or two. Troy Weaver got away with that, and even if that doesn't, you know, even if that doesn't mean the Pistons aren't going to win a lot of games next year, it's not going to be because Langdon's not laying the foundation for his plan. You know, he's going to be doing things that just not may not directly result in more wins than losses right away. Let's talk about some of the names the Pistons could be interested in. We've already heard the guys that Detroit was interested in, guys like Malik Monk and Nicholas Claxton. Well, those guys have already re-signed extensions with their current teams. Monk went back to the Kings, and Claxton went back to the Nets. So who's out there for Detroit? What do they need? Well, I think Detroit could use a veteran guard. Could someone like Tyus Jones or Markelle Fultz make sense? I'd throw D'Angelo Russell in there, but his agent is Aaron Mintz. So I would say that if you know the story, then you know the story. And I would say that makes it a little less likely that D'Angelo Russell is a Piston. Those are all more point guardish type names. Another veteran guard that the team's been linked to previously was Gary Harris. Not sure how necessary he is when I look at, you know, the two spot for Detroit. We've got a lot of guys currently still on the roster vying for minutes, plus the addition of Tim Hardaway Jr. on Friday. I think if they were going to make an addition at the guard spot, it needs to be more of a veteran point guard. Cade Cunningham and Marcus Sasser are there. But a guy that could play also alongside Cade or lead the second unit, I think makes sense. You know, I'm not sure how tied this new front office is to Marcus Sasser, albeit him being a first-round pick in the 2023 draft. Moving to the forward spot, one name we've heard a lot, and I think there's a very good chance he is a Piston, is Tobias Harris. Where there's smoke, there's fire there. Let's put it that way. And I think there's a good chance Tobias Harris will be a Detroit Piston. I think he'll be a Detroit Piston rather soon. Some other names, Najee Marshall has been linked to Detroit. I'd like that a lot. Obviously, there's a connection there with Trajan Langdon and the Pelicans. And then another floor spacer type wing that I thought Detroit should have gone after last year even is Doug McDermott. Just a guy that helps make the roster make a little bit more sense. A veteran that can space the floor, shoot the basketball, provide a little bit of a scoring punch. I think those kind of guys make sense. And then the center spot, because there have been some rumors that the Pistons might be in the market for a starting level center. Don't know what that means for Jalen Duren. Don't know if that means they kind of want to slow things down with him, play him in a smaller role, make him learn from the bench, make him learn from an older player. Not 100% sure there, but there's rumors. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. There's rumors that they're going to look for some starting center help. So who could those guys be? A couple names that stick out to me: Isaiah Hartenstein from the Knicks, Jonas Valanciunas from the Pelicans. Not a starting level center, but another center that I think could be in the mix, especially after all the moves that the Knicks have made and the money they've committed to Mikal Bridges and now OG Anunoby on his extension. Precious Achiuwa. I thought he had some really nice moments for New York last year, better than he ever looked in Toronto. And I'm not sure if that's a byproduct of playing for a team that had a lot going for them and he just thrived in that environment. But even in the playoffs, I thought Achiuwa made a nice impact for the Knicks when he got in. And he certainly did in the regular season after being dealt there from Toronto. So looking at more of a value play, I think Achiuwa could make some sense for Detroit. Wouldn't be comfortable with bringing him in as the starting center, though. That's really all I got. Free agency starts on Sunday. Not sure how quickly we'll see deals made by Detroit. I think we'll see them in some rumors pretty early on. And I'm interested to see how aggressive Langdon is in the free agency market. This is a team that even after the Hardaway Jr. trades has a ton of cap space to work with. Like I mentioned earlier, second in the league in projected cap space, $51 million. They've got a lot of things they can do. And as they try to get better, maybe they won't win 35-40 games next season. But they could still add some pieces to make this roster a bit more functional, make things work a little better, and satisfy their franchise guy, Cade Cunningham. So I'm interested to see what everyone else thinks, particularly from today's discussion on the free agency front. I'm curious to see who everyone thinks the Pistons should be going after, what areas on the roster need to be addressed the most. For me, I think the veteran guard spot, and I think they need a starting level forward, or at least a high-end backup level forward. And I think depending on how they view Isaiah Stewart, they need to get some center depth. I'm not sure on Stewart. I don't know how this organization wants to utilize him if they keep him. Do they view him as a forward the way that Troy Weaver did? Or do they view him as a center? And how does that impact Jalen Duren? And how does that impact Isaiah Stewart's role? You know, does he come off the bench as this team's backup center? I know he has value across the league. Interestingly enough, the Pelicans have been a team mentioned in the past as a team interested in Stewart. Don't know if that's directly connected to Langdon. That could have been more David Griffin. I'm not 100% sure. But maybe this team feels very strongly that they like Isaiah Stewart still, despite the change in leadership. So let me know what you think. Let me know who you think the Pistons should go after in free agency. If there's any other contracts that the Pistons could go after as Trajan Langdon continues to take on distressed contracts with assets attached to them. Very curious to see what everyone has to think. And we'll see what the future holds. Maybe I'll do some more of these solo podcasts, depending on how everyone views them, if they like them. But I appreciate you coming along. I appreciate the support. Like I said, the episode we dropped on Friday, the attention it got right away was incredible. And that was, you know, days removed from the draft. We didn't get one out right on Thursday morning. We in years past have gotten the podcast out hours after the draft. We didn't have that this year. And you guys still came out and supported us in droves. And I appreciate that. If you haven't already, subscribe to palaceofpistons.com. Link in the description of the show, wherever you're listening or watching from. If you're watching on YouTube, please take a moment to like the video and subscribe to the channel. That helps us out tremendously. It's free of charge for you. You're listening on Apple, you're listening on Spotify, leave us a rating on the show, follow our page. It helps us just as much, and it's also free. Well, that's going to do it for this bonus edition, solo edition podcast here on the Palace of Pistons podcast page. For myself, Aaron Johnson, thanks so much for listening. Again, make sure to use our promo code BLEAV for a welcome bonus with Bet Online. Thanks so much. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.